Well, it's Mom and Dad's holiday season again. I'm sure you guys all enjoy this, but the rest of us don't always. Amen. Father, I thank you today that you would just come with your presence. Lord, come and speak to our hearts. Lord, cause us to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Ray. So this morning, I'd like to speak to you about the joy of the Lord. You know, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. But, you know, in the world that we live in today, there's less and less joy to be found. Is that right? And, you know, as a society, we tend to feed on negativity. And, you know, when we do that, we're less joyful. And, you know, as believers, you know, the Bible says that joy of the Lord is our strength. If we're less joyful, then we're weak. We don't have joy. We don't have strength, and we're overcome easily. We get discouraged and downtrodden, and all because of a lack of joy, because we feed into what the world is putting out there. Does anybody here watch the news? You know, I remember years ago, as a child, when I used to watch the news with my parents, at the end of the news hour, they would frequently put in one of these sort of fuzzy, warm, nice stories at the end of the news hour, right? You know, and it would be, I don't know, a video clip of a squirrel or something water skiing on a remote controlled boat, or, you know, something, you know, a bit silly but mildly amusing, and it was there to just kind of lighten the mood, right? But we don't even get anything like that anymore. What do we get at the end of the news hour? We get the weather. Yeah. So we feed on this negativity all the time. It's probably a bad day for us. It's really nice outside. But. All right. But, you know, the devil is out there to steal your joy. You know, did you know that everything, and I mean everything, is going to kill you, right? Too much salt is going to kill you. Not enough salt is going to kill you. Eating meat is going to kill you. Isn't that right, Raymond? Right? Not eating meat is going to kill you. Actually, I'm not sure if anybody's ever said that. But if you're not eating meat, you'd probably want to die, right? Too much sugar. Global warming. I mean, it goes on and on. Brexit. Kim Jong-un. Right? Apparently, he's got a really big button on his desk. All right, and he's going to kill us. But if he doesn't succeed, Donald Trump has an even bigger button, right? He's got an even bigger button, and his button works, apparently. So, you know, it's very easy to get caught up in all of this, right? There's a lot of negativity out there. The devil wants to steal your joy and put you into a place of fear. Not a place of faith, a place of fear. So I wanted to look at this topic today of joy. What is joy? You know, from a Bible perspective, you know, it's often defined just normally as a intense happiness for a great delight. But, you know, in the Bible, joy is more than just happiness. You know, happiness is kind of an emotion that really speaks to our current circumstances, right? Maybe you've got a new house or a new car and you're feeling happy about that. Or a new baby, right? But all of that is very temporary. It doesn't last, especially with a new baby, right? Trust me, I know. Right? Joy is something that's deeper, right? It is a fruit of the Spirit. So if we look this morning, I have a number of points here about joy. But number one, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, it's listed second, only preceded by love. So this is an important thing. And, you know, how is joy being a fruit of the Spirit significant over just, you know, regular happiness? Well, when God is working within you, the fruit of His Spirit is going to come out of you. Is that right? If we look at John chapter 15 and verse 5, it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. So this morning, if you are in him, you are to be joyful. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17, it says, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who are with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory and are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. When we show joy and when joy comes out of us, we're reflecting the glory of God. Amen? All right, number two. Being joyful is a command. 1 Thessalonians verse 5, verse 16, it says, Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In Philippians 4, verse 4, it says, Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Now, the word rejoice, by the way, is actually the verb form of the word joy in the Bible. All right, number three. True joy is unconditional. It's unconditional. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. You know, what's this verse really saying here? Is saying that the situation doesn't have to be right before we rejoice. You heard the testimony this morning. Here is a man who is on his deathbed. And what did she respond with? She responded with praise. Said, okay, you know, it doesn't matter the circumstances. You know, even in the face of disaster, yet I will praise. In 2 Corinthians 7, 4, Paul says, In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. You know, it doesn't matter what you're facing. God's desire for you is that the joy within you will have no boundary. Amen? All right, number four. joy is limitless. John chapter 15 and verse 10. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. How much joy? Complete joy. Can you honestly say you've ever had complete joy? And it wasn't just a temporary moment. Complete joy, that's God's promise for you. He says, if you obey my commands, if you remain in my love, I'm going to give you complete joy. Complete joy. Number 5. There is an anointing of joy for all. Isaiah 61 verse 3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, oil is used to anoint. That's what they use to anoint in the Bible. And it talks about this here. It says the oil of joy. There is an anointing of joy that God wants to put upon you. Your sadness for his joy. Garments of praise for your spirit of heaviness. There's an exchange that God wants to do for you. All right. Number 6. Heaven is a place of joy. 1 Chronicles 16 verse 27 says, splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. Well, you know, after Christ came and was crucified and resurrected, where became his dwelling place? Where is God's dwelling place? It's within each one of us. It says joy is in his dwelling place. Is joy within you? God has put his joy within us just because he is within us. But, you know, some of us do a really good job of pushing it way down in there. Yeah. Some of us, you could never know that there is some joy hiding deep within there. Yeah. You got to let it out. You got to let it out. Don't bury it deep. Joy is to come out of you. All right, number 7. Joy is the key to restoration. Did you know that? Joy is one of the keys to restoration. Let's look at a few verses here. Joel chapter 2, verse 21. You know, let me just read it. Be not afraid, O land. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Be not afraid, O wild animals, for the open pastures are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. You will have plenty to eat until you are full. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders for you. That all begins with be glad and rejoice. Be glad and rejoice. Let's look at Jeremiah 33:10. It says, this is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it is a desolate waste without men or animals. Yet in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither men nor animals, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before." You know, this is so opposite to the world's logic, right? When the situation is not looking good, that's not the time to be joyful. That's inappropriate, right? But no, not with God. God says, you know, when everything looks like a desolate wasteland, that's the time you're going to be joyful. That's the time you can start to praise, because that is the key to unlocking my restorative work. Are you saying that people can't be unhappy or sad? You know, we all suffer losses at times. No. God made all of our emotions. But the Bible says there's a time for that. But in the Psalms it says, what? Weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." Just think about that for a minute. It says, consider it joy when you are in a trial. It means you've got the option, right? You have the choice to do that. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, right? You've got to know that. As a believer, you've got to know that the testing of your faith is going to develop perseverance. And then what? Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Do you want to be in a place where you don't lack anything? Starts with joy. Joy has got to begin to change the way that we think and the way that we act. You know, so often we just react to situations and circumstances based on just our own human emotions. But God says, no, I want you to respond with joy. So how can we get more joy in our lives? I have another list. All right, number one, trust in him. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Where are we putting our trust? You know, many of us will find occasion to put our trust in someone or something other than the Lord. All right? And what happens? They fail. You know, you can rely even on your own family and they will fail you. Only God are we to put our trust in. Is that right? You know, things will happen in this life, and it's how we react. Are we putting our trust in him? You know, oh no, the interest rates have just gone up in America. They're probably going to put them up over here. What's going to happen to the mortgage? Oh no, we're going to have to cut back. How can we cut back? Well, maybe we'll you know, cut back to maybe 5 meals a day. Yeah. Oh, no, there's a sugary drinks tax. Oh, we're going to have to cut back on the sugary drinks. We're going to have to drink that filth called Diet Coke. Yeah. Some of these things have gone through our minds. I don't know who. Where are we putting our trust? Number two, spend time in his presence. Psalms chapter 16 and verse 11, it says, "You will fill me with joy in your presence." Or in the King James, it says, "In your presence is fullness of joy." You know, I really enjoyed Clive's message last week where he was talking about pursuing the presence of the Lord. You know, if we spend time in his presence, that's where we're really going to experience the fullness of joy. Psalms 104 and 34 says, "My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord." And in Acts 13 and 52, it says, "The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." If you want more joy in your life, you have got to pursue the presence of God. You've got to seek after him. Spend time with him. And the Holy Spirit will fill you with joy. All right, number three. Follow him in obedience. John chapter 15, verse 10. In fact, I read this verse already. "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I told you this so my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." You know, when we follow the Lord's plan for our lives, our joy is made complete. You ever notice how when your kids are being disobedient and they know it, their joy has been taken away from them? They might be doing something that they want to do, but they know they're going to have to pay. They're going to have to pay for their crime. And so their joy has been taken away. But when we're walking in obedience, what? The kids are just happy, aren't they? Nobody ever has to tell a kid to be happy. They're just happy. They just have a joy within them. You know, and that's why Jesus said that, you know, to enter the kingdom, you got to come as a little child. They're not weighed down with worry and irritation and anger and stress. You know, when you're a kid, every day is a good day. Why don't you just say that with me today? Today is a good day. So tomorrow, when you wake up and you've got a headache, yeah, and you step out of your house and your car's got a parking ticket on it, you know, is today a good day? Or are you going to chase down that parking warden and show him that you know universal sign language? No? Never had a sign language lesson before, but I know some sign language. Today is a good day because we serve the Almighty, because he's going to restore unto us everything that the enemy and that evil parking warden has stolen from him. All right. Okay. Number four. Worship. You know, part of our expression of joy is worship. Psalms 28, verse 7, it says, "My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song." Psalms 86 says, "Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." You know, as we begin to sing songs of praise to Him, have you ever noticed that if you come into the service with a foul mood and you start to praise the Lord, all of a sudden, that just goes away. It just goes away. You can't sing songs of praise to the Lord and continue to be in a bad mood. It just doesn't work. Number five, spend time with other joyful people. You ever heard that expression, misery loves company?
Yes.
You know, if you hang out with miserable, depressed, negative people, chances are you're going to turn into one of them. You know, I don't know what it is about being British, right? But British people, they love to celebrate crabby, negative, miserable people, right? Did you ever used to watch that show called One Foot in the Grave? Yeah?
I don't believe it.
Yeah. Here was a guy who was miserable as you like. I mean, just negative and the most annoying person, right? But we celebrate this guy. This is a great, you know, this is a huge hit. We're going to watch this guy because, okay, he was funny. Ironically, he did bring joy. But we do celebrate crabby negative people. All right, but then if, you know, somebody like Louise walks up to you, you know, here comes Louise, you know. She's going to be all positive and happy and joyful. And, oh, she's going to tell me about all the miracles that she's had this week, you know. And I haven't had any of those, you know. Oh, I can't take it. You know, Louise, she's just too much. Oh. I know you don't think that way about Louise. Spend time with other joyful people. Surround yourself with other people who are full of the joy of the Lord. Does that mean you should never spend time with negative people? No, that's not true. If you are going to spend time with negative people, and you've got to try and limit it so that it's not going to affect you. You can try and affect them. When they begin to share something negative, when they have a bad attitude about something, you can try and influence them and turn it around, bring them back to a position of faith. We've got to be a people who choose to be people of joy. You know, no matter what we're facing, no matter what circumstances we're dealing with, only God is the answer, and He will come. And if we submit ourselves to Him, He will fill us with joy, and we will be the joyful people that He intended us to be. Amen? Why don't you stand with me this morning? You know, someone said to me before the service that actually the England football game starts at 1 o'clock. And I would just like to say, as a word of encouragement, yeah, sorrow may last for the night, but joy will come in the morning. But I just would like to release the joy of the Lord over you today. You know, I think we can all admit that we can use more of the joy of God within ours. And so just put your hands out to the Lord this morning. Father, I thank You that You provide joy, complete joy, fullness of joy. And Lord, today, that's what we want. Lord, that's who You are, and that's who we want to be. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would release heavenly joy today upon your people. Let each one of us take this word, see where we can improve our response, our attitude. How can we praise? How can we be joyful and rejoice in you, regardless what we might be facing? Lord, I thank you for even the miraculous that will come, because we are people of joy, because we rejoice. Lord, we even praise you for the testimony we've heard today about the joy of the Lord that has turned situations around. Let that be all of our testimony, Lord, as we go forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you.